Off the ball
on News Talk
in association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.
Okay, we've a rare treat for you this Saturday afternoon. Due to our live coverage of Tottenham's game with West Ham in the Premier League on Thursday night, we weren't able to bring you our usual helping of Thursday night with John Giles. So delighted to say John has decided to chat to us today. How's it going, John?
I'm okay, Dave.
A couple of really interesting games last night in the third round of the FA Cup. Let's start with events at Anfield, where Virgil van Dijk scored the winner for Liverpool in front of the Kop End on his debut in the Merseyside derby to beat Everton 2-1. I mean, you can't get a better start and more of a dream start than that. But overall, what did you make of his debut?
I thought it was a pretty good game. I thought he did okay, Dave. He wasn't put under much pressure. I think he's a very, very attractive player on the ball. I think he's got to be tested in a defensive way, and he wasn't last night anyway. But he should be a very, very good player for Liverpool. Very, very attractive player. I think he's brilliant on the ball. What he can do, the real defensive stuff, say like John Terry, for example, I wouldn't be too sure about. But time will tell. But certainly a very promising debut for him to score a goal in a derby match like that.
The one thing that Liverpool defence has lacked for quite some time, even predating Jurgen Klopp's time in charge, is its real composure in tight situations, in decisive situations. And given the kind of calmness and the composure he seems to bring to most situations, as you say, he's very good on the ball, never seems to be flustered. Will that bring a little more out of the defenders around him, so the overall improvement might just be more than what he actually does when he's asked to do something?
Yeah, I'm not so sure, Dave. You know, I think... like as you said, the composure is very, very good. But when it comes to the actual nitty-gritty of defending, I'm not that sure about him. Now, only time will tell. But anytime I've seen him play for Celtic or Southampton, again, very attractive, very good on the ball. But I've seen him sometimes, knowing the centre-half's gone out to block a shot, he wouldn't be that good. So I'll hold me fire for a while on him to make sure that he is going to do the defensive stuff that Liverpool really need when it's needed. But certainly a good debut for him in terms of scoring the goal. I mean, he wasn't bought to do that. Well, I don't think he was anyway. He was bought for the defense. For the defensive qualities that they're lacking. So I'll hold my fire on him, Dave, for a few weeks anyway.
Do you think there's been too much expected of him, and not just because it's him, but any player that coming in, it's an awful lot to ask to try and be the remedy, the silver bullet to a problem that a club has been having for so long?
I think so. I think you're absolutely right there, Dave. You know, it depends what Klopp wants him to do. You see, don't forget, Klopp is the one who organises the defence. And my take on Klopp, even with the players that he has before this lad came in, before Van Dijk came in, weren't organised very well, Dave. So what I'd be worried about, actually, is that maybe Van Dijk would do things instinctively, and maybe with the coaching wouldn't be the right things for him. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, in other words, say a few weeks ago, you know the goal against Spurs, when they had a bad day at Spurs, the first goal?
I think it was Lovren and Clavin were together.
Yeah, but they were lined up in a certain way, Dave. That somebody had to tell them to do that. Now, presumably, it's Klopp. But no matter whether it was Van Dijk or anybody else playing that day, he would have been in the wrong position anyway, you know? So that's what I'd be worried about. If actually the coaching of the defensive situation in the club is not right. So, in other words, he might instinctively, Van Dijk, go into the right position, Dave. But maybe with the coaching, he'd be put in the wrong position. That's my worry at Liverpool. I don't think whoever does the defensive work at Liverpool is not good at what they do. Now, whether that's Klopp or whether he's got anybody else doing it, Dave. I mean, I know we've spoken about this before in the show, but you know Moreno playing at left back. Now, when the ball's on the other side of the field, he always gets in beside the central defenders, right? Instead of being halfway between the winger and the defence in that particular way. Now, he has to be... There's two things there. He either has to be told to do that, or he does it himself and it hasn't been spotted. Now, one thing is as bad as the other. So that's what I fear. I have a fear for Liverpool, that Van Dijk might not make the difference that he's expected to make because of what he's told to do or what way they want to line up defensively. So but again, only time will tell that, Dave. You know?
If it's a structural or a systematic problem, it doesn't really matter who the personnel are.
Exactly, exactly. See, you find with centre-halves, Van Dijk, for a free kick, for example, will take up what he would think instinctively is the best position to take up. But if on the Friday, the manager or the coach and whoever's doing it says, no, I don't want you, I want you to be here. So it doesn't matter whether it's Van Dijk or anybody else. He's going to be in the wrong position. So I fear that's what happens at Liverpool because I've seen it with the defenders. Well, we've all seen it with defenders, whether it be Mourinho or anybody else, getting into wrong positions in certain situations. That'd be my fear for them, Dave.
Defensively organised or not, they haven't lost since shipping those four goals at Wembley against Tottenham, and I think overall it's one defeat in 23 games, and they've a pretty soft run of games to come as well, bar the visit of Tottenham to Anfield a couple of games from now. How impressed have you been with them since they lost that game at Wembley in October?
I think with Liverpool, I think what he obviously really goes for is the attack, which is very, very good, and he has very, very good attacking players. And what you find in football, if you have a weakness defending, for example, you can get away with it. You know, you could go 10 matches without losing a goal. But if there's a defensive fault, somewhere along the line, it'll show up. And I think Liverpool could, say, possibly win the Champions League because there's not that many games in it. But I think there will be a lack of consistency even. I know they've had a good run at the moment, Dave. But I think that's liable. If you're not going to defend well, somewhere along the line, that's going to happen. And I think that will happen. I think they will lack the consistency that's needed to be champions, for example, of the Premiership. In the Champions League, as I say, I think it's possible they could win the Champions League because there aren't that many matches in the Champions League. But if they have a fault, or any team has a fault, usually... Well, what nearly happens all the time is that somewhere along the line you'll be found out. But they're very attractive, they're very good attacking, and I think they will go on runs like that. But I think somewhere along the way, Dave, they'll lose a match that you wouldn't expect them to lose.
Before we move on to the United Derby game, John, just a question on Everton and Liverpool and the Merseyside Derby itself. By next season, it will be almost 20 years since Everton last won at Anfield. And this is an argument I've been having with Kevin Kilbane for quite some time, that real genuine rivalry isn't really so if it's only going one way. And it's just such an appalling record. So I think Kevin Campbell got the winner there in 1999.
Yeah.
I mean, Liverpool fans hardly really see it as a major rivalry, do they? And if both sets of supporters aren't completely... compelled by it and all encompassed by it, that maybe it isn't a proper rivalry. What are your thoughts on it? Kevin says I'm talking utter nonsense, by the way.
I wouldn't agree with you there, Dave. I think no matter what, say Liverpool were in the third division and Everton were in the top division and they were playing each other, you would still have that rivalry.
Okay,
it's an inbred thing in whether it be Manchester, Glasgow, it's even 10 times worse if you call it worse. And Liverpool. I think, you take the match last night. I mean, the FA Cup doesn't mean that much as much now as it used to before. But I think if they were playing in a Mickey Mouse Cup, there'd be a huge rivalry there, no matter what divisions they were in. And you saw it last night. You know, the rivalry was there. The place was packed. It's still the Everton. It's like the Manchester Derby. You saw Manchester City a few years ago in the third division. If they were playing Manchester United, you would get that rivalry, and definitely on Merseyside. No matter what divisions they were in, you would have that rivalry.
Okay, well, you're all against me on it, so maybe I need to change my tune. Kevin will be delighted. United again last night got the win and got the two goals in the end, but it was another case of a bit more of the same from the Burnley game, the Southampton game, the Bristol City game, where they really struggled to break down supposedly inferior opposition.
Yeah.
And it's been a hallmark now of United's play for the best part of 6 to 8 weeks. It's something that Jose Mourinho really needs to get right.
Well, he's had 18 months to be doing better than he's actually doing, Dave, and I think that's getting to him. You know, with all the rows he's had, you see this morning he's had another row now, hasn't he, with Conte? He's not a happy camper, and I think he's a great football coach, as we know, and I think he knows this team is not doing as well as they should be doing, and especially in relation to Manchester City, which the local rivals, as we know, who are going extremely well. And I think Mourinho, when he's in the position he's in, Dave, he can't take it. You know, he's hitting out against everybody and anybody that comes in his way. And because I think he really knows this team hasn't progressed as well as they should. You know, he's moaning about the money that Manchester City spent. Well, he spent now almost as much as Manchester City anyway. He's having a go at Conte. He's having a go at Klopp about running up and down the line or whatever they do, when he's done that himself in the past. So he's not a happy camper, and I think it's basically down to watching Manchester United, his own team, that these guys are not playing as well and they're not progressing as much as they should be.
One thing he must be pleased, though, with is the form of Jesse Lingard, and it's probably the main story as regards United at the moment. It's 8 goals in 10 games, several of which have been potential goal of the month contenders. He's playing with an incredible level of confidence. I doubt you saw this coming.
I didn't. I think he's doing exceptionally well. I always thought there was a lot of promise in him, but I never saw that promise being fulfilled, if that's the right word. Now, certainly in the last few weeks, he has it going for him. And it's like a lot of young players coming into the side. They come on sometimes in leap and bounds, which he has done. And he's done extremely well. He's very quick. He's got a good shot on him. He certainly has the potential to be a top-class player. And obviously, if he continues doing what he's doing, then he'd be in the team on a regular basis, because he hasn't really had a regular run.
Yeah, it's his first real genuine run in the team since...
Rashford hasn't come on, Dave, really. I think Rashford has been played out of position a lot by Mourinho. And I think he's lost his confidence. Because I think we don't know, but I'd say he wouldn't be the type of personality that Lingard is. I think he's got a lot about him, where Rashford, I think, is a bit of a shy lad. And at the moment, when he's playing, he looks confused. But I think he's an awful lot of ability. But the two of them together... they're very, very good players, and Lingard has definitely come on well and can score spectacular goals, which he has done. I think he should be a regular. Well, I think he is a regular in the team, but he's definitely earned his place in that team.
I accept that Rashford, certainly can make an argument that he's gone backwards under Mourinho, but you see Pep Guardiola getting an awful lot of credit for improving the likes of Sterling and Stones and Fernandinho at City since he's come in.
Yes.
Shouldn't Mourinho be credited with something similar when it comes to Lingard, maybe Martial to an extent? Ashley Young has had a really good season, probably his best season since he's arrived at the club, and maybe even to a lesser extent Luke Shaw, who's now also back in favour.
Well, he didn't do Luke Shaw any favours over the time he's been there. Of course, Manchester United have spent a lot of money. You would expect them to improve the team. But I don't... Well, if you look at it in relation, he's there at the same time as Guardiola, as is at Manchester City. But you'd have to say that Guardiola has progressed a lot further than Mourinho has, Dave, in improving the players he has. That's what you have to compare him with now. And that's what he compares himself. How well is Manchester City doing in relation to Manchester United? They have definitely come on in leaps and bounds since the time Guardiola's taken over. Manchester United haven't. I mean, that's a fact. So, you have to give the manager, Guardiola, the credit for doing what he's done. And in relation to Manchester United and Mourinho, he's done a far better job than Mourinho has. And that's what's driving Mourinho mad, I think, Dave.
Yeah,
he knows.
Doesn't sit easy with him.
The table shows it, you know.
The situation with Lingard, where he's just going from strength to strength, is in stark contrast to that with Henrik Mkhitaryan. And I don't know how much you saw of him last night, but he's gone from being player of the year in the Bundesliga and one of the most sought after players in European club football to what we saw last night, unable to complete even the simplest of passes, throwing his arms up in the air when he doesn't feel the right run has been made, uninterested, looking like a shadow of the player that United thought they were getting when they signed him. From your time playing, can you recall being, whether it was at United or at Leeds or West Brom, where a player comes in for decent enough money in relative terms at the time, you're expecting huge things from him, and a few months into it, you're just looking at him on the training pitch and on match day going, like, what was the fuss about this guy? He's just not up for it.
Yeah, well, funny enough, when I was at Leeds for 12 years, and funny enough, you didn't spend as much money in those days anyway, Dave, you know. But I don't remember any player coming into Leeds for a lot of money that didn't do it, that happened to. I didn't come across... Now, I saw it in other teams where obviously players went for a lot of money and didn't do it. It can happen. I don't know what the circumstances are at Manchester United, but you can only go on what's happened on the pitch. And as you say, Mkhitaryan hasn't done it for Manchester United. Definitely hasn't. Now, whether he was ever going to make it or not, but a lot of players went to Manchester United over the years, more so than Leeds, where it was too much for them, Dave. You know, the club was too much for them. Now, whether that's down to that's the situation with Mkhitaryan, I don't know. Whether it's down Mourinho, Mourinho might have lost confidence in him and is getting on to him. Like, I think that happened to Luke Shaw. He definitely had a go at Luke Shaw last year when he first came in. And I don't think that player has been the same since. Because once you give a player a lot of stick or whatever you do to him on privately or not, they lose confidence and or lose the respect of the manager, which is the worst thing that can happen to you, actually. Then what you see with Mkhitaryan could well have happened in that way. But nobody knows, David. Yeah. The club might be too big for them, whatever, the Manchester United name. It has happened in the past. But you'd have to be there to know. I mean, maybe the relationship he has with Mourinho, if the manager loses confidence in you, it happened to me at Manchester United with Matt Busby, and it's a dreadful feeling. Now, I'm not saying that's what happened to Mkhitaryan, but it might have.
Yeah.
We don't know. We're certainly not performing in a way that the club would expect him to.
You would like to think that being questioned publicly by our manager is the last resort when it comes to the manager trying to figure out how best to get the best out of certain players. Yeah. He's done it with Luke Shaw. He's done it with Martial. He's done it with Mkhitaryan. Exactly. Although when it comes to Mourinho, right, okay.
I've never seen it work. Honestly, I've never seen. If you go back to Ferguson at Manchester United, they used to give him the hairdryer, as they say, but it was always in the privacy of the dressing room. I never heard Ferguson criticise a player, and I think he used to have a right go at them, whoever was involved in it, but I never actually saw him criticise the player publicly. Now, if you go back to Mourinho actually ridiculed Shaw last year when he'd only just come to the club about a goal at Watford, for example. I don't think he's recovered since. Players hate to be criticised publicly. Whatever happens should happen in the privacy of the dressing room or a one-on-one with the manager. But I think there's a code broken, Dave, when a manager criticises a player publicly. It's the most humiliating thing, and it's very, very hard to get those players back. Like the players you mentioned there, Martial hasn't improved, Shaw hasn't improved, Mkhitaryan hasn't improved, and maybe one or two others I can't think of at the moment with Mourinho. I've never seen it work, ever.
I want to ask you about the game involving Leeds tomorrow in Newport County, but just one more question on United. Paul Pogba was decent again last night. He was excellent at Goodison Park on Monday when they beat Everton 2-0. Yeah. I know you need an awful lot of persuasion, John, when it comes to maybe seeing Pogba in the same way that several other pundits would see him. Are you being swayed at all by his performances of late?
No. I mean, when he came to Manchester United with record fee, what Mourinho actually said, he was the complete midfield player. Now, I'd seen him play for France in the Euros, and I never thought he was the complete midfield player. I still don't think he's the complete midfield player. I think he's a very talented player, Dave, and I think Graeme Souness was on about it the other day when he was on, where I think he's not playing now as a middle of the midfield. He's more or less playing to the left side where he played at Juventus. And I think he's better there than anywhere else because I don't think he is responsible enough to play in the midfield position and dictate the game. Now, he will make long passes, which is, of course he's got a value, but he's not the complete midfield player by any means. And at the Everton the other night, he did play well. He got on the ball, he can do certain things. He's got a lovely long pass on him. He's got a good shot on him. He can do certain things. But I don't think he has the attitude to control the game in the way that you would expect some midfield players to do it. In other words, as a central midfield player, I think he gets lost in the game. I don't think he's capable of doing it, Dave. If you play him wide on the left, without the response, say Matic has the responsibility to do what's needed to be done in the middle, I think he can do it. I don't think Pogba can do that. But it doesn't mean that he can't contribute in certain ways. But I don't think he's going to contribute in a way that the complete midfield player does. I mean, if you go back to the row last week where Mourinho lost ahead with Scholes criticising Pogba. Now, I think Scholes was right, and I would agree with what he says about Pogba, because Actually, Scholes was the complete midfield player. He could control the game in the middle of the field. He could accept the responsibility. He knew where to go. He knew the tempo of the game. He could score goals for you as well. So I think he was the complete midfield player. And what he was doing was criticising Pogba as not really doing what's expected of him, which he hasn't been doing. But I think people do expect too much of him in expecting him to control the game. I don't think he's capable of doing that. But I think he is a talented player who has a value.
Okay, it is FA Cup third round weekend, John, and in keeping with that and all the magic of the cup and everything that goes with it, we've Pádraig Amhain coming up on the show shortly. He's a striker with Newport Counties from Carlow, and the reason why we have them on the show is because they're taking on your old club Leeds tomorrow at Rodney Parade in Newport. It's a real potential banana skin for a side that are close to the playoff places in League Two against a side in the playoff places in the Championship. I just wonder, does it bring back memories for you, any bad memories for you when you were on the end of the wrong end of a cup upset?
Oh, yeah, of course.
What was the worst that you were experienced?
The worst we had was Colchester. We were beaten at Colchester in the fifth round of the cup at Colchester. When Colchester were in, well, they were certainly no higher than the third division.
Okay.
They might have been in the fourth division at the time. And we were beaten actually, they went 3-0 up against us. We pulled back to 3-2. So I've had some great experience in the cup and some bad experiences, Dave. We also had one of the biggest shocks in the final at Leeds when Sunderland beat us in 1973. Sunderland were then in the second division, so we were on the end of a few shocks. Although we won the cup as well. I was looking at playing two cup winning teams, but you're almost certain to have shocks along the way. And like, this wouldn't be as big a shock if they were beaten now, Leeds, as it was when we were beaten by Colchester in 1971.
And what was the fallout?
Well, actually, the fallout wasn't so bad. I mean, that was 1971. I think we went on to win the Fairs Cup that year. I think we finished second in the league. So we recovered. I mean, the Leeds lads were a good set of lads. So you have to put that behind. You have to take it, you know. We have to take it on the chin, because what happens in those situations, you get a couple of loud mouths, which they were playing for Colchester, saying, oh, we didn't think Leeds were that good, and they didn't do this, they didn't do that, and they didn't do the other. Do you know what I mean? That's what happens when you have to take it on the chin. But we recovered okay. Well, let's put it this way. Colchester beat us in 71, and the next time we were beaten in the cup was in the final of 73.
Right.
We won the cup the next year, which is 72.
Okay, so you got the final, not 73. A bad response to it.
It was a good response, yeah. But it happens, Dave. You know, it happens to any team. It can happen to any team. There's been shocks over the years, as we've seen, not every year, but you know, I think this one wouldn't be as big a shock as some of the shocks I had when I was at Leeds.
Okay, John, brilliant stuff as always. We'll chat to you soon.
Yeah, thanks, Dave.
Off the Ball on News Talk.
In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.